now being recorded. If you have any objection, you may disconnect at this time. Sir, you may proceed when ready.
Thank you very much. So welcome back, everyone. We will now discuss the motions that we have on our agenda for the Open Council meeting that takes place on Wednesday. And we have a very full agenda as far as motions are concerned, which is something that I think is good. And just to give a little background to that, we did move the calendar around for the last couple of months in the build-up to the Open Council meeting for this AGM, just to make sure that we didn't have meetings that happen just before and then we turn up here and have an agenda that's not quite full enough. So we cancelled a meeting and moved some meetings around just to try and have these meetings with monthly intervals, and it seems to have turned out well. We have 8 motions to consider. The first one, and this session is designed to help us thrash out any issues that we may have with motions before we come to the Open Council meeting on Wednesday, so that we can do some of the legwork on these motions beforehand and hopefully be in a position then to just consider the motion on Wednesday. So let's start with the first motion, which is John Barrard's motion on something that we've just discussed.
I think it's been quite well thrashed.
But it's not been quite well seconded.
I suspect that anybody who's had something to say has said it. If not, anybody else?
No, Mary.
Mary and Milton. Mary?
Thanks. This is called taking turns. It will come as no surprise, I think, that the NCSG opposes the use of the word endorse in the first resolve clause for reasons that I need not retread. So either, depending on what happens between now and then, to the extent that this motion goes forward, we would suggest at the very least that the word endorse be replaced by something else in lieu of rewriting the whole resolve clause, perhaps acknowledged or something to that effect. But we believe that it can't possibly be an endorsement of the council when our stakeholder group opposes those definitions and metrics.
Thanks, Mary. Milton, were you in the list?
Yeah, just a different thing. I sort of like the idea that Jeff had floated about asking him to reconsider some of the metrics in light of the, now that we know what the applicants are actually proposing, how would you measure the effectiveness or lack of effectiveness? And in general, I agree with what Mary said, but I thought that you're kind of looking only for things that can get worse, and you're not looking at metrics that would indicate, you know, improvement in the market. If you were to ask, you know, is society better off because we have railroads in 1830, you know, and then in 20 years later you, you know, there are people who say, I hate the railroads, my grain prices went down because I have more competition, and there's other people that say they love it. I mean, this idea of surveys mediating market entry strikes me as strange, but I agree with Jeff that we should recalibrate the metrics based on knowledge of what is actually out there as an application.
Well, the numbers are neither evil or good. We are merely trying to establish units of measure that would then allow people far smarter than I to draw some subjective conclusion as to whether the program has been a net benefit or not to registrants on a global basis. And so I don't want to assign intent to any particular number. Certainly, Mary, if there is a word other than endorse, certainly open to it. Perhaps you can think of some and offer it up as a friendly amendment. The no problem with that.
Thanks, John, Jonathan, and Wolfgang. and Wolf.
Thanks, Stefan. I suppose I'm looking for some clarity from Milton about expectations here. And I mean, this is starting to look like the motion will be deferred. But are we looking at, and from Mary's suggestion, there may be minor, well, depends on your perspective, minor alterations to the text that may have quite significant meaning, but nevertheless changes to the motion, but that motion will then be reappear for in 3 weeks' time or at that whenever the next council meeting is. The question is, what are people's expectations that you know, there is a limited amount of change that will take place in that period, and so we just have to generally manage one another's expectations of what we think might come back in 3 weeks' time, because there simply is a limit, and you heard what Steve said as well about the time pressure he believes that we're under to sort of move this forward. So I
thanks, Jonathan. Wolfgang, please.
Yes, yeah, I have also problems, at this stage to endorse the definition. I think it was also mentioned here that a definition is a rather delicate thing. If you have really endorsed and adopted it, then it stands for a long time. Bill Avery and I was involved in the definition of internet governance in the working group of internet governance in the WCAG, and we had to struggle with the narrow definition and the broad definition, and finally we came up with the broad definition, and there were some other proposals on the table at this time about the narrow definition. And what I see now from what I've seen here from the definition, that's really a very narrow definition. And so probably, if we just, give us more time to discuss the definition of consumer trust, we could up with a narrow and a broad definition, which would allow more flexibility also for the future. I think the WCAG definition of internet governance is a rather very abstract level. This definition is rather concrete and goes into very concrete procedures, which has the risk that it really narrows the scope and, eliminates a lot of other aspects, which, if you discuss what is consumer trust into the DNS. So insofar, I would be very careful. I could live with the formulation, but as Mary has proposed, endorses is too strong, and probably we can find a more flexible wording which would allow a further discussion on those issues.
Wolf, please.
Thanks, Stefan. Well, I tend to disagree with Jeff on this item. I think, I understand that document as a living document. It's not a document which just right now finished and then it is what it is. So it has to be a living document in the future, because the environment is going to change and it will be changing in the future as well, more and more. And markets are changing and these things. But on the other hand, we cannot wait for that. So if you wait and review that, so something will change anyway in another way, and then we have to review again. So I would like really to see that this document is going to be forwarded. I could accept what was said by Mary and by Wolfgang with regards to that amendment or the question of endorsing or finding another word. So I think you should come up with some proposal for that. But I would like really to see that this document is going to be forwarded. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolf. Jeff?
Yes, just to respond to Wolf, you said you disagreed with me, so I guess my point was, now that we know the current landscape, and we know that there's a third of the applications that are brands, and a lot of those, most of those being closed TLDs, I think it would be unfair to use these metrics or some of these metrics against them. It would absolutely look horrible in certain circumstances if, in the aggregate, as Steve said, the brands as a whole were judged on things like, does their website talk about the benefits of the TLD itself? Or is it easy for people to register names in those TLDs? It's all I'm asking is to go, I'm not asking as broad to revise everything. What I'm asking is that now that we see the landscape is what it is, that there's just a quick relook at the certain types of measurements that if one were to look at would skew the results and make it look like, so if this is a future round coming up, round two, I'd hate for people to say, well, look, it didn't increase consumer choice because these things didn't happen, therefore we shouldn't do it, when there could be thousands more brands in theory that want this. And we need to be sort of, now that we know what we have, let's take a quick look. That's all I'm saying. Let's take a quick look, see whether the criteria still are relevant, which ones.
Thanks. I think we'll have to move on. We've got seven other motions to consider, and we've spent 16 minutes on one. Can we?
I have had my hand up for 3 minutes, but you weren't watching.
I was trying to work out what other motions we might want to talk about.
Just a very quick comment. I can live with the group with a slight delay if the working group says they can come back quickly. I can live with submitting it saying that the working group is relooking at it in light of these issues and might issue a revised version, but demonstrate that something is going forward. I would not want to see the average aggregate numbers lowered because of this kind of skewing problem by the time the review team is convened. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. So let's move to motion two, which is a motion that was made by Zahid. And unfortunately, Zahid is not able to be with us in Toronto due to visa problems. So he's obviously greatly missed. Look at this motion and just see if there's any discussion that we want to have on the possible initiation of a PDP on uniformity of contracts to address registration abuse. This motion, like John's, has not been seconded yet, so on Wednesday I will be calling for seconds unless someone wants to second before that, either on the list or during our discussions, and we'll make a note of it. Any discussion that anyone wants to have on motion number two? It appears not. Jeff.
Sorry, this will go into the category of we have way too many things that are, quote, addressing abuse, and I know this is one of those items that's left over from 2009, but I think since 2009, again, with the registrar accreditation agreements, with everything else we've been working on, it seems like everything has an element of abuse. I think that talking about contracts is actually talking about contractual language distracts from talking about the issues themselves, and the registries have discussed this. And we don't think this is something that we could or would support simply because we think this is, A, covered elsewhere, and, B, really encourages the focus on contract language as opposed to focus on actual substance.
Thanks. Any further comments? Chuck.
Thanks. By the way, just a practical matter, because of the importance of what the resolution actually says, I think it'd be a good practice. Maybe it's just me. If the actual impact was stated in the resolutions rather than have to look somewhere else. I did happen to look somewhere else, and what I found, if I did it correctly, is that one of the things we're saying here is we're going to initiate a PDP to do research. Why do we need a PDP to do research? It seemed like to me like it'd be better to do the research, and maybe we need a little drafting team to help do that or with staff help and so forth. But I don't think it's necessary to initiate a PDP to do research unless I'm misunderstanding something.
Marika.
It is, Marika. The PDP is not intended to do research. The research part actually comes in that there are certain elements where we believe on the basis of the research we've done for the issue report would need to be answered in order to help inform the deliberations of the working group. So the suggestion was to you know, if when a PDP is launched, that part of the working group's charter is to look at those specific questions, and either that's done as part of the working group discussions, or it might be, you know, you might want to instruct staff to look at it, or, you know, a third party to look at gathering some of that data, but to have that kind of information to help inform the discussions of the working groups. It's an element of the working group, not the only task that we foresaw in as part of the.
Now, I recognize that it wasn't the only task, but it looked like a first task. And what I'm saying is it'd be better, I think, to get that done before you form a working group and do a PDP.
Thanks, Chuck. Any further comments? In that case, let's move on to motion three, please. If we can just scroll down. Thank you. This is a motion made by John, seconded by Wolf, to request an issue report on the uniformity of reporting. And I will ask if anyone wants to discuss this motion. So we can expect a straightforward council discussion on Wednesday, it looks like.
There's too many whereas clauses.
Do you want to say that out loud, or is that just for my benefit?
Can you scroll through that motion again, just from beginning to end? Yeah. All right. Sorry. We got to work on our motions. They're way too long. But I support it, actually.
Quick, let's move on.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Thanks, Wolf.
Hey, Stefan.
Sorry, Jeff. I'm going to see now.
Stefan?
Right? What?
There's a basic question that nobody asks. I don't understand why. Are there staff resources to do this?
Staff? Are there staff resources to do this?
Which one?
Uniformity of reporting.
Uniformity of reporting.
Well, you know, to be perfectly honest, I think a lot of the work has already been done in the paper that compliance produced, for example. And I think it's, Mikey already shared some thoughts as well. There's information in the registration abuse policies working group. So I think looking at the work that needs to go in there, I think it's more the question what needs to happen after that, if there are the resources for that. But I think a lot of the information that goes into, you know, what is the issue, I think has already been explored as part of different initiatives, and I think it's a question of bringing that together. And I think it will be more the question of, okay, what are the next steps? Because I think, as I think is clear from the motion and also the previous discussion, is not necessarily the intent of having this go into a PDP, but there might be other avenues that may be more effective or need to be considered as well as part of the next steps. But, you know, of course, this is only one of the issue reports, PDPs, you know, charters that are being considered here. So I think overall we will need to have a look at what is going to be adopted and what that means for our workload. And we might need to come back to you and say, well, you know, we can start on, you know, these two or three issues, but it means that one of them will need to wait a bit longer. So that might be a discussion we need to have maybe as part of the wrap-up session once we know which of these initiatives are concretely moving forward. Maybe that's something we can do at that stage. But also, I think, from a community perspective, because, of course, all these, even though they're staff work up front, all of them will apply eventually as well, community work.
Yeah, thanks, Marika, and thanks, Chuck, for bringing that up. And I think it ties into what we're discussing this morning as well about the presence or absence of people on these groups trying to get this work done. Anyway, moving swiftly on, as was suggested before, we are looking now at motion number four, which is a motion to initiate a PDP on IGOs as part of the new GTLD program on the protection of IGO names. Motion made by Jeff and not seconded so far. I have Jeff, Mary, Thomas.
Yeah, I just want to clarify for the record, it's not IGOs, it's international organizations. So that's it. It's important because there are people that are kind of, it includes IGOs, but also INGOs, as that's defined.
Thanks for correcting that. Mary.
Thanks, Stefan. I would like to second this motion and as well comment for the record that This is a motion that's supported by both constituencies in the NCSG, and particularly with our new constituency, NPOC, because much of the recommendations that will be worked on in this PDP were really requests that were first initiated by NPOC at an earlier ICANN meeting.
Thanks, Mary. So we'll make a note of that second. Thank you. Thomas.
Just wanted to second, and now Mary was a little bit quicker.
Any further comments? Okay, let's move on to motion 5. A motion made by Jeff, seconded by me, to approve the Thick Who Is PDP Working Group Charter. Any discussion on this that anyone wants to have? Okay, let's move that.
I think Wendy had her hand.
Oh, sorry, I missed you, Wendy. Sorry.
Thanks. I just wanted to raise a suggestion that I believe Avery made on the group's discussion list regarding putting a slightly stronger emphasis on considering the rights impact of the Thick Who Is as we've put into the PDP process a reference to rights impact, that we could call that out more clearly in the charter.
Marika?
I just wanted to note for the record that the drafting team worked really hard to try to get this charter in front of the council for this meeting, with the realization that, of course, all the hard work is still to come. So I think there's a real hope from the drafting team, at least, that the council is able to consider it and hopefully adopt it, because otherwise it would mean we have to wait for another council meeting before we can actually start with a call for volunteers and launch the whole process. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Thanks, Marika. That's both useful and good to know. And as was noted earlier, it's always good to both note the hard work that goes into these things and the positives when there are some of milestones being reached and these things being completed in a short space of time. So, Marika, thanks again for making those comments. Thomas.
As regards the rights implications, that is prescribed in the PDP process anyway, so I think that it would be a dangerous precedent to specify it in the charter, because that might imply that in the absence of that specification that wouldn't be necessary. So I think it's in there per se. It's hard-coded into the process.
Thank you. Jonathan.
Yeah, if I understood Marika correctly, your concern is that perhaps this may be deferred when it comes to that. So, you know, maybe we should ask that question directly and cover that issue if that's a concern. Is there anyone who feels that they might are likely to motivate for this to be deferred so that Marika can get at least a little more restful sleep over the next couple of days?
If Marika's losing sleep over this, it's time to stop, I think. But anyway, good question, and that's why we have these sessions. So, you know, if anyone wants to help us out there, then please do so. Jeff.
Yeah, first there's a typo in the resolve that's kind of just glaring, so we could be the GNSO, although I like the GSNO. It's in the first resolve. But I wanted to address, Avery brought that issue up. The drafting team is still discussing it. I don't believe there's any consensus within the drafting team to adopt that change, partly because of what Thomas said, that it's built in, and partly because we already think it's covered in other areas of the charter. And as Thomas actually put it, to us it sets a dangerous precedent of calling certain things out in the charter. Remember, we're not talking about the substance of the work that they're doing. We're only talking about the charter, and we believe it's included elsewhere. So I would strongly urge the adoption of this, because we'd like to get this PDP moving.
Thanks. Any further comments? So we'll move to the next motion, please. If we can just scroll down. Motion 6, which was made by me, seconded by Wolf, and aims to adopt the IRTP Part C final report and recommendations. We heard from the group earlier on. This is another area where we've had, as was explained by members of the group, and James Bledel to be more specific, we have had very hard work from the group members to reach the deadlines. So it's one where we both wanted to get this in for Toronto, and we're hoping that it's going to be voted on in Toronto so that we can maintain that momentum. Any comments or questions? Marika.
This is Marika. Just maybe to briefly explain the motion and how it's built up, because there are basically three different resolve parts, which I think all three have different voting thresholds associated with them. The first one is basically adopting the recommendations in the report that are consensus policy recommendations. So basically just refers to the report as those recommendations are described there. The second resolved clause relates to the recommendation of the working group to form an implementation review team. And basically, that group would be formed once the recommendations would have been adopted by the board. Because once the GNSO Council adopts these, or assuming that that would happen, they would still go out for a round of public comment before the board considers them. So there's not much sense to form that group before the recommendations are really final, in case there are any issues that are raised and recommendations may be referred back, for example. And then the third resolved clause relates to, let me just scroll down, to the next issue report on IRGP Part D. And I think, as you heard James explain, the suggestion or the recommendation of the working group is to put all the remaining issues together in this one final or hopefully last PDP on the IRGP, where you'll see, I think, that the first four issues, those are all related to the TDRP, like Transfer Dispute Resolution Policy, and they were in the original PDPD. The one, two, three, four, fifth bullet is the one issue that was in the PDPE. And the last one that actually doesn't have a bullet, so we need to fix that, is the issue that was suggested by the IRGP Part C working group to be added to this as part of their discussions. They wondered whether the FOAs are still needed in light of the use of EPP codes. So just to give you a little bit of explanation on how it's a build-up.
Thanks, Marika. Very helpful. Mary?
Thanks. This is probably a minor question, but I ask it not specific to this motion, but potentially for the language of future and other motions that the Council might make. And this is really with respect to the resolved B clause, or the second resolved clause. Because when I was reading this for the first time, I noticed that it said implementation in accordance with the letter and intent of the report, or something like that. And just the usage, letter and intent, kind of struck me as a little bit odd. And when I went back through the report, there are a few places where it does say implementation in accordance with the intention of the group, which I assume is what implementation should be doing. So I guess my question is there a reason why we're using letter and intent here, or should we just say in accordance with the recommendations or intention of the working group? Again, maybe not specific to this, not a big deal, but for future motions.
So is this something you'd like to offer as a friendly amendment to get changed, or is this just a more general comment?
I would like it for this purpose today to offer it as a potential friendly amendment if you and Wolf feel like being friendly.
Okay. Can you send it in on the list and so we can have a record of it? Thanks. Any further comments? So let's move on to motion 7, which is a motion that was made by Ching, not seconded yet, and which is a motion that suggests we ask for an issue report on recommendation 2 of the IRD working group final report. Is there any discussion on this? Ching.
Thank you, Stefan. Actually, not much to address at this moment. It's pretty much straightforward motion on actually putting the recommendation for the IRD into two particular parts. You've actually heard what Steve has talked about, the technical part, which needs collaboration further with the IETF and their progress on the technical recommendation for having the access to the the registration data. And then so for this one is particularly I would like to emphasize on the necessity of inclusion, particular on the registrar and also on the registrant sides about the responsibility of transliteration or the translation of the contact information of the registration data. So I would really hope that the council take the lead on this. So that's about it.
Thank you very much, Ching. Any further comments? Okay, so I obviously can't count because I... Sorry, Rafiq.
I want to second this motion.
Thank you very much. Can we make a note of that, please? Seconded by Rafiq. There's not eight but seven motions, so we've gone through them all. And as it's been a long day and we still have one session left, I would suggest that we move straight ahead into the DSSA session if Mikey's ready to... Mikey, are you ready to give that update if we start now? Great. So let's do that. Let's end this session, start the next session on DSSA, and perhaps we can look to finish a few minutes before our scheduled time. Operator, please end this session and restart.